I'm not sure we could have many weekends as beautiful as last weekend. But today was a beautiful day. I don't know why there's some concern about hazardous weather, but this afternoon has been about 85 degrees, beautiful, sunny, bright. Seemed like it was more than 85 degrees, but that's maybe because I still don't have air conditioning in my truck, and so it always feels like it's 100. So tonight, partly cloudy, low of about 62 degrees. Tomorrow looks like the best day of the weekend, mostly sunny, high of about 87 degrees, light wind, certainly nothing to be concerned about if you're out there. For you golfers, you're not going to have to worry about wind. By tomorrow night, there's a chance of showers and then thunderstorms after 9 p.m. Then it'll be mostly cloudy, low around 68 degrees. As I said, the precipitation is a chance, about a 30% chance. And new rainfall would be less than a tenth of an inch, unless there are thunderstorms and you're involved in the thunderstorms. But otherwise, boy, everything's looking dry. In the last week, it's necessary to water those plants. And I don't know if you water lawn. We don't. But, boy, we had this lush, I mean, really, truly lush lawn and starting to look a little peaked at this time. So on Sunday, we have a chance of showers and then thunderstorms. Ooh, sorry about this. I don't know why we're getting that feedback. Anyway, we're the thunderstorms, chance of showers. So Bill has joined me. So, Bill, if you're going to your boat, a better day to do it would be tomorrow, mostly sunny. There is a chance, at least here, and, of course, you know when you get down to the shore, the weather can be totally different down at the shore. But there is a chance of thunderstorms on Sunday and showers and then about a 40% of thunderstorms. And again, about a 40% chance of thunderstorms on Sunday night. I think that's actually increased from before. Sunny, cloudy chance of thunderstorms on Monday. And then we again have about a 40% chance of thunderstorms on Monday night. Again, mostly after 9 p.m. Sunday night and Monday night. So anyway, that's pretty much the weather. And I talked earlier about the Black Potato Festival in Clinton. Again, that's going to be going on. It's going on today, all day today. All day tomorrow night, and it will be, actually tonight I think it starts at 6, but all day tomorrow, and then on Sunday during the day, and I think it ends probably around early evening. So, Bill, the big thing in sports right now, and I don't know if you were able to see what most recently, I just glanced, I wasn't able to watch it, but I did glance at the U.S., not the U.S. Open, please, Pat, the Wimbledon. And I can never pronounce his name, Djokovic and Nadal, they were in the first set. It was a tie when I left. I don't know if you had any more update on that. I mean, that's certainly Serena Williams is still in it. And
Pat, I'm really not a tennis guy, so I think we've got to wait for John.
Maybe. All right, we'll try to wait for John.
Talk about tennis, because in my universe, tennis is a lot of fun. It's great to play, but do I follow Wimbledon with bated breath? No. But I will tell you that my New York Yankees beat the Cleveland Indians last night 7-4, even though Luis Severino had just a so-so start, and the fighting Phillies beat Baltimore 5-4. Looks like the Phillies can beat the Orioles, but the Yankees don't do so well against them. So, Pat, we are deep into Wimbledon. We're also deep into the FIFA World Cup.
Oh, absolutely, in fact.
A sport that everybody else in the world seems to have tremendous passion for, except for us.
No, but I think that even those of us who have watched some of the matches. I think Sunday night. I'm not sure what time they're starting, but they're Croatia and Croatia and France. I mean, that was Croatia upset England.
Croatia beat England in overtime.
Yep, I know. I mean, I think everybody considered that an upset. I mean, they did not expect Croatia to win.
Nobody expected Croatia to go that deep, and nobody expected England to go that deep either into the World Cup. France and Belgium, though, is the premier match, and I think that happens, what, Monday night, is it?
No. France beat Belgium.
France beat Belgium.
Yeah, the final is Sunday night, and it's going to be Croatia.
Has to play France.
Croatia and France.
Right.
And I didn't watch all of the Belgium and France. I watched some of it, and I really, and maybe I was just watching parts of it, but I really didn't see Belgium. The parts that I watched, they were pretty lackluster. They just were not up to par. I think that many people thought that Belgium could be in the finals. Now, you know, I know very little about soccer, but I know that all the Latin American teams were out. That was, the fact that Brazil didn't go any farther, I think, was certainly a real disappointment. Mexico was, Mexico was eliminated. I mean, they really not happy. This continent is not happy.
Well, they'll just have to play better baseball. I've always thought that Central America and places like Venezuela produce tremendous baseball players. And certainly, yes, the rest of the world, including the Latin countries, love soccer.
Venezuela?
Venezuela, of course. Even Panama produces some
baseball players. No, come on, Bill.
Yeah.
What is the country that's really, in Latin America, the big producer of baseball?
Well, we could talk about the Dominican Republic.
Absolutely, the Dominican
They're not
Republic.
Latin America. They're in the Caribbean.
Oh, I consider that part of Latin America. I'm sorry.
Okay, if you do, that's fine.
But Mexico has never been big in baseball.
Mexico has the Mexican leagues, and they have produced some very good baseball players.
When you look at the number of people in Mexico compared to something like the Dominican Republic, you'd think there were many, many more players. But I'm talking about Caribbean and Latin America.
Well, that's true. There are a lot of great.
Okay, we're back. We took a brief
technical break
here to say goodbye to our leader, Chris.
Our fearless leader, Chris Phelan.
And in any event, I guess I'm not aware of that many players from Venezuela.
Venezuela has produced some very good baseball players. It's been a long day, and I've been struggling with a lot of stuff, but so far have overcome it. But for some reason, I can't think of any right now. But I will tell you, I was just in Aruba. And in Aruba, you have, which is, used to be part of the Netherlands, and it still looks to the Netherlands for a lot of their culture, part of the mix. Hensley Mullins and Xander Bogaert, who plays for the Red Sox. Hensley Mullins, who played for the Yankees and is now a coach for the San Francisco Giants, are both Arubans. And for an island with 26,000 people to have the 10 or 12 nice baseball stadiums that I saw during the week that I was there in May, I was impressed. I'm kind of curious to go back when they have their baseball season and see what that's like. But they don't play baseball in the spring because it's too hot. They play in the winter, I think. Moving along, though, Venezuela has produced a lot of ball players. So has Panama. Panama has produced...
Dominican Republic and Panama... That makes sense because of the U.S. presence there. The reason that the Dominican Republic learned baseball, and we've talked about this before, Japan, Dominican Republic, Panama, they all had U.S. bases. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, they learned baseball from the Americans, soldiers, sailors who were, who were there. And so, you know, the United States has really been the country who has, we have an export. Baseball was one of our exports. Now probably all the baseballs are now made in China, but
in the Dominican Republic. I remember getting a baseball picking up a baseball actually when I was playing in college, and it was made in Haiti. I happened to look at the label, and it was a Rawlings baseball, which is the major league standard, and it was made in Haiti. And it was not a brand new ball. It was not an old beat up baseball either. It was just another baseball. So we see baseball all over the place. It's funny. There's an Australian Baseball League. There's a very active baseball league in the Netherlands. I was surprised to learn when I went into a bar in Aruba and some people began talking about baseball in the Netherlands because we were watching the Yankee game that night.
Now, see, some people, Yankee fans, beautiful place like Aruba, and what are they doing? They're watching the Yankees.
Well, you do it at night.
It's the same thing. So what? It's the same thing whenever I travel. And, of course, for me, it's whenever there's football, I somehow can find a bar that has Packer games on.
Well, you know, Pat, speaking of football, for those of you who are football starved, the Edmonton Eskimos are hosting Toronto Argonauts for the second time in 6 days. And Edmonton is looking pretty good to avenge the 2017 loss they took in Toronto. The Eskimos in that game, led by a guy named Mike Riley, who's he, had no trouble moving the ball, and they really got a whole lot more in yardage by 370 yards versus 217 before bogging down in penalties and turnovers. But they turned around and they beat the British Columbia Lions badly after a week after a loss in Hamilton. So for those of you who like CFL football, and I do because it's kind of a weird game, first of all, the backs get to be in motion towards the line of scrimmage before the ball is snapped. So you've got a high-speed passing game. Secondly, they play with 12 guys instead of 11. Third, the field's 110 yards long. Fourth, their season ends right around Thanksgiving because everybody else they're focused on hockey by that time. Unless, of course, you root for the Calgary Flames, in which case, you know, they're not going to make the playoffs. By November, they're usually a light year out of contention.
Well, probably the only time I've not been, and I think the only time I ever watched Canadian games was when Doug Flutie was playing.
That's right.
Remember? I mean, he went up.
Doug Flutie was a British Columbia Lion, I think.
I don't remember what team he played for, but he's the only person I ever remember who went and played at the Canadian League and then came back and played in the NFL very successfully. I'm assuming that there may be players who don't make the NFL here and go to Canada, but honestly, I don't follow it. Have you?
I do. For those of you who are really interested in this, I enjoy football so much that I'd watch it anytime. Toronto is at Edmonton tonight on ESPN2 at 9 o'clock. So that's always something worth watching. It's a kind of a fun sport. Watch the backs in motion. The other thing that's very interesting is they have to have the defensive team has to play a yard behind where the ball is spotted. And what that does is that opens up a lot of the running plays, too. So there's a lot more scoring in Canadian football than there is in American football, my humble opinion. The other thing that's very interesting about Canadian football is how many American guys who, for whatever reason, don't get to play in the NFL, or maybe they were good college players, but it's just not quite good enough, or they're rehab guys like Johnny Manziel, who partied his way out of Cleveland. Great supposedly great number one draft pick who just completely fizzled for them. A lot of these guys end up in the CFL, and they have decent careers. And the other thing, too, is that in the Canadian Football League, they are limited to only a certain number of American players.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, I think
they are.
10.
Oh, that's interesting.
I think it's 10 or 11, I forget.
10 or 11,
10 or 11
per
Americans.
Team.
Yeah, per team.
Well, how many can they...
The rosters are bigger than in the NFL. The rosters, I think, are 55 or 60 guys, and that can be active players. And that creates a real advantage for a lot of teams when there are injuries because they can sign a lot of guys. And, you know, football, we play 16-game regular season games. We play three or four preseason games.
Right.
And then if you get into the postseason, you could play another four games. So what happens is that you could play a total of 23 games in the NFL. In the Canadian, and so there's a lot of wear and tear on the joints and muscles and bones and a lot of rehab time. In the Canadian Football League, because there are more guys and they rotate them in and out more, it seems, particularly the linemen, because they know these guys are taking a beating from each other. What happens is that you see these guys manage to avoid getting injured or manage to avoid getting worn down, because you know as well as I, by December in the NFL, a lot of these right. guys are really banged up, and a lot of the playoffs turn on who's injured and who's healthy.
Well, you know, and that's why I've always said that I think with all the talent, they're not going to lose in the way of talent if they would increase the rosters here. I've never understood why they don't for those reasons. I mean, have more players on the practice squad, have more players, earning minimum salary. So they're here and they're ready to go. For example, and of course, if you can get that talent, sometimes you can't get a talented enough backup quarterback. But look at the difference between what happened with the Eagles last year and what happened with the Packers last year, because the Eagles had an excellent backup quarterback and the Packers didn't. You know,
right.
really, I think if you make that contrast, it'd be very interesting for someone who would look at the entire team and compare them. Because obviously for the Eagles to go ahead and get to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl when Huntley just couldn't go in and win the games, even a few games, to keep the Packers in. Big difference.
Oh, no doubt about it. The thing that always is impressive to me is that the Eagles managed to have injury after injury and somebody else kept stepping forward and filling the role. And it wasn't just Foles.
But that was lucky. But they were also lucky. And I'm sure that, you know, if that second player had gone down, then they would have been in deep trouble. Because I think with most, you know, if they have, you know, it's not at all unusual for that first person to go down and then, you know, the second person... I don't know. I just think it's probably greedy on the part of most of the owners that they don't want to pay those extra players. But to me, especially when you have a very deep draft, I mean, sometimes, it's not as deep as others, but fine. If they didn't want to keep those extra players, they wouldn't have to. But I just think that, now that we have, again, up to 23 games that they can be playing in, they just need more players.
I think so. I don't know whether it's greed or what it is, but, you have guys on what I call a practice squad, what used to be called a taxi squad. And, sometimes these guys step up and sometimes they don't. I know when Aaron Rodgers was hurt and then his backup was hurt, they brought a guy off the Packers practice squad to play football and play quarterback, and he was okay. He could hand the ball off pretty well, but he didn't have the arm Rodgers had or the savvy, but nobody does. I think of Rodgers as a premier quarterback in the NFL, and I think anyone else would be hard-pressed to disagree with me. But on the other hand, when you have so many people, so many guys who are good, but not good enough. They end up on the practice squad. And every now and then, with the injury, somebody takes a step forward and the team realizes that they've got a diamond in the rough and they can really play them. And the guy can play. But these are usually the linemen or sometimes the running backs. You don't really see that with the receivers, and you don't really see that, you rarely see that with a quarterback coming out of nowhere.
Well, that may be true, but it just seems to me that really the teams really all need two backup quarterbacks. And, you know, that way, if they had two backup quarterbacks or, you know, maybe even put a third person in as a possible. I mean, there's enough good guys coming out of the draft that I think that that, you know, is feasible. And, yes, there are people like Johnny Manziel who just blow up. And, you know, I think every team can name some players who were, you know, high first-round draft picks that went nowhere. And then if I hear one more time where Brady was in the draft, I think I'll... Well, put it that way.
Well, we won't go there, Pat, out of respect.
We won't.
The thing that I don't get is the, you know, football's going to start in earnest on September 6th or September 9th.
Yeah, but they go to practice. I believe that, if I recall, July 27th, I think the Packers, you know, start practice. Maybe it's the 28th. But, and... who is it from New Jersey who's going to be out there now? Mo Wilkerson is going to be playing for the Packers.
Oh, yeah.
And guess he hasn't sold his house in New Jersey yet. So
I guess not.
And maybe his family is not real thrilled with that move. But, you know, there are a lot of Packers today that, and I think a lot of NFL players that when they're traded or when they take on a team, you know, they have a family, and they don't know how long they're going to be in that new team with the new team. So, you know, I will say that you know, the commitment, of course, it would be a big change. I'm just laughing about the big change it would be, and I don't know anything about Mo Wilkerson's family, but big change for them to move from New Jersey to Green Bay. I always laugh at what Lombardi's daughter said when they were moving out to Green Bay. Mm-hmm. And she basically said, you know, Green Bay, where is that? And, you know, nobody knows where Green Bay is. And he predicted that everybody would know it after he got out there coaching, which happened. So anyway, what's back in some of the, you know, we don't really talk about the races that are going on or, you know, some of the what's going on in any of the sailing, you know, anything good happening in the sailing race world?
Well, not really. I haven't followed the America's Cup. I haven't, but I will tell you that the Volvo Penta around the world race is not again until next year. I always like watching it. If you ever go to YouTube, you can see some really spectacular sailboat racing when they race these catamarans. A lot of them come out of the water. They're on these very thin foil-type keels that swing back and forth. And that's exciting, but to me, that's not really sailing. That's like messing around with a sci-fi boat. A lot of these boats look like they're something out of Star Trek rather than out of the ocean. But my passion, as you know, is... dealing with sailboats. I finally got to take mine out and shake it down last Sunday after...
That's really late for you.
It is. To do this in July, to finally get to it between the bad weather and a bunch of illnesses in the family, a new baby in the family, a lot of things that needed to be fixed, and a lot of... because it's a 17-year-old boat. And if you like to fix things and you run out of things to do, get a boat. You'll always, particularly a sailboat, you'll always find something to do. But I now have a new GPS, chart plotter, and multifunctional display, and I also, all in one, and I also now have a new VHF radio. I decided I needed an upgrade, whether I had to or not. And I'm looking forward to going down Sunday morning and learning these systems and going for a sail. But I have to tell you, Sunday's sail, got to the boat about 9 o'clock.
Can you get down there on Saturday, at least with the what's happening here? And by the way, let's take a couple spots, and then we'll come back and finish that conversation.
Okay.
But we're kind of behind, and if our good friend John gets here, we'll want to spend some time actually
talking about sports.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investors, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
¿Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hey, we're back.
Yes, we are, folks.
We're back
for the sports guys, and we're waiting for John Manfreda to talk about Wimbledon and the Giants. But we were talking about alcoholic beverages and the importance of ice. And on a day like today, I think ice is a very good thing to have in a drink.
Okay, well, we won't share the rest of that one. But
Moving right along, what are the Yankees going to do about – are they going to get Manny Machado, yes or no, Pat?
No. If they expect him, as a non-Yankee fan, and as you know, people that grew up in the Midwest, most of us loved everyone other than the Yankees.
So on this one,
I have to, go with the Red Sox, especially since the Milwaukee stole the Braves from Boston all those years ago. But
yeah,
then, of course, Atlanta.
They're doing pretty well.
Then, of course, Atlanta stole the, stole the Braves. Nope, I never became a Brewers fan.
Why is that?
I don't even remember when they finally came to Wisconsin. They weren't any good. They now actually have a new stadium, because the Packers' old county stadium was where the Braves played and where the Packers played before they stopped playing in Milwaukee. But, I'm wondering when the Brewers, because there were a few years when I was a kid that we didn't have a baseball team.
That's right. There was a big gap between the time the Braves left and the Brewers came, and I think that was a 20-year gap.
Well, that was the rest of my childhood. So the interesting thing, what happened in Wisconsin is, most of us, at least in southern Wisconsin, were Cubs fans. Mm-hmm. So then the Braves came to Wisconsin, and it was quite interesting who stayed Cubs fans and who stayed, who went over to the Braves. And, of course, there were a lot of other fans that were Cleveland Browns fans. And
the Cleveland Browns were a football team.
I don't mean that. I meant the St. Louis Browns.
The St. Louis Browns.
Yeah, no, sorry. I didn't mean Cleveland. I meant the St. Louis Browns from southern Wisconsin. People were Cubs fans, St. Louis Browns fans, or St. Louis fans. Mm-hmm. But there were amazing number of older people who were old Browns fans.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Browns left and became, St. Louis Browns left in 54 and became
right.
The Baltimore Orioles.
Right. I mean, I don't remember the Browns, but I know that the older folks, would talk about
the
being
really
Browns fans.
The curious thing is that the Milwaukee Brewers are in first place in the National League Central Division. They're 55-39, and they've been 6-4 in their last 10 games, followed by the Cubs, who are just out by one game. So the Cubs are not dead yet, folks. What's really exciting to me is that my fight in Philadelphia Phillies are 52-40, and are a half game ahead of the Atlanta Braves, used to be the Milwaukee Braves, in the National League East. Meanwhile, the New York Mets are sinking slowly, slowly, and more slowly into last place. They're now tied with Miami. They're both 14.5 games behind, and the Mets are working baseball mediocrity like Michelangelo worked in marble. I don't know what's wrong with these
Dave
guys.
Doesn't even talk about the Mets anymore. And, of course, you know, I rub it in a little bit with the Cubs because, you know, after the Braves left for a short time, I was pretty young, but I kind of became a Braves fan because we would actually go to Braves games. But then I went back to my Cubs, or I went back to the Cubs. And that's, I think, most of the people in southern Wisconsin really became Braves fans. And when they were playing in Milwaukee and then, you know, went back. I mean, there were some diehard Cubs fans. I remember some of the kids in my neighborhood that, you know, there was a big, you know, it was probably, I don't even know what it was like. I mean, it was maybe like the Brooklyn Dodgers and Yankees when, you know, the Dodgers were in Brooklyn and you were probably either a Yankee fan or a Dodgers fan. And, you know, was that more of a rivalry than the Mets and Yankees?
The Yankees and the Dodgers really didn't play each other all that often.
I know, but still, was it either you were a diehard Dodger fan or diehard Yankee fan?
Actually, the New York Giants baseball team used to play in the Polo Grounds right in the northern part of Manhattan, within sight of Yankee Stadium. And they and the Dodgers were rivals. Actually, they were bitter rivals. And I've never been to Ebbets Field. It was torn down when I was a child when the Dodgers left for Los Angeles in I think after the 1958 season. But both my uncle and my mother have very fond memories of both Ebbets Field. My mom was always a Dodgers fan. My Uncle Jack was a Giants fan because although he lived in Brooklyn and all his friends were Dodger fans, my Uncle Jack always had to be the rebel without a cause, and he was a Giants fan. And I remember going to the Polo Grounds when the Mets were finally resurrected in 1961 and seeing them play the Giants and seeing them play the Dodgers. You had more Giant and Dodger fans at the Polo Grounds than you did Mets fans. I think the Mets were there just so you could watch the Dodgers and the Giants, 18 times a year each. So baseball rivalries are kind of funny, but they're trying to encourage that more with interleague play. So the Phillies are hosting the Orioles, or the Orioles will host the Phillies again soon. We also see kind of odd interleague games like Red Sox.
Well, Baltimore, Philadelphia, that should be interesting because I'm sure that there are areas between where, you know, it's like northern Wisconsin for football. I mean, Minnesota, northern Wisconsin, remember the Packer games are usually blocked out up there. And because they're the Minnesota games are on. So there are lots of people up in that Minnesota and Wisconsin, that northern part, that are Packer fans in Minnesota and vice versa. So there's a real rivalry up there. And in fact, I am still hoping to possibly get tickets. Packers are playing in Minnesota on, I think it's the 17th of, no, maybe the 16th of September, if that's the Sunday. Mm-hmm. But that's going to be a really, really tough ticket to get.
I would think.
I mean, I'd like to see their stadium, and then they're playing in Green Bay, but it's later in the season. As I've said before, the Packers season this year is, it's just awful. They play a lot of games at home early in the season, and then they're playing a lot of away games in the middle of the season when it's beautiful to go out to Green Bay, and then they have a lot of home games later on. Now, of course, if anyone can get me a ticket for the Patriots-Green Bay, that would be, they're playing out here, and I would love to go to that game. Because I would be a stadium, although I've been to the stadium, I have not been there for a game. And that's, something I'd like to do.
Foxborough.
It's up in Foxborough.
And when is that game?
That is probably, I think, in November. And then they're playing the Jets. But I think, if memory serves, I think that is like the 23rd of December. I mean, it's right. No, that's out here. But it's right before Christmas, and it's going to be cold.
That's the best time to watch football.
Well, I don't mind. I like watching football when it's cold, but Dave would rather now watch on the television. And, you know, to watch a Jets-Packer game is at the end of the season is probably not going to be that exciting. In fact, if Packers are really in it, I almost hate to see Aaron Rodgers play and might not play that much. Who knows? Let's hope he's healthy for the whole season. Now, I know all the quarterbacks. I mean, they don't want to. I remember Brett Favre. They could have been ahead 50-0, and he wouldn't want to get out of the game. I mean, they had to drag him out of a game before the end of the game to let the backup. I think a good trivia question would be, how many times did Aaron Rodgers even get to play when Favre was a credit, you know, when he was a quarterback there? And because Aaron sat on the bench for, what, 5 or 6 years. So it's really interesting how the quarterbacks just don't want to go out of a game, even when, you know, they're assured of a victory.
Well, that's always a problem in the NFL, isn't it? But, you know, if you're that far ahead, why not give your backup the reps? I never understood that.
No, I don't either. I really don't. And, I don't honestly think the fans would care. Well, the Jet fans and the Giant fans, you know, half of them are gone after the halftime. I mean, that's the most amazing thing to me, is see what happens and how.
Even the traffic in New Jersey.
Well, but so what? I mean, you know, and I've said this before, the last time we watched a Giant Packer game, we had, not only did we have tickets, but we had parking. And people always complain about the parking. We stayed until the end of the game. We were out in 15 minutes.
You know, the last time I saw went to a Jets game, they played the Packers, and we took the train in and we took the train back, and it was a breeze. Except for the fact that the train was really packed. What I especially liked was I didn't have to worry about parking or getting out of the stadium. I like taking the train.
So now, what train would go from this area to?
You go to Secaucus and you park your car. And you get on the New Jersey Transit. You take the train to MetLife Stadium, and it lets you off at the east end of the stadium, and you literally walk maybe 200 feet, and you're in the stadium.
So actually, why couldn't if that's the same train that goes into Newark, right?
Yeah, Jersey.
So why couldn't you
Jersey Transit?
Why couldn't you? Well, I mean, I guess then if it's Jersey Transit, is that the train that comes all the way out to Somerville?
You see, yeah, you could get on.
So you could get on in Somerville,
Caucus, and go all the way, or you could get on it in White House Station. Even you just have to look at the schedule, and you've got to time it right, because when you get it on, there's a Sunday schedule.
Which out here is Somerville's fine.
Yeah,
but coming any farther, because I've seen that.
Yeah.
You can't go, you know, White House or. Lebanon
or Clinton,
because it's just or Annandale. I mean, forget it on a weekend.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And it's very slow.
Yeah, because it stops everywhere, and and that's frustrating for some people. But you know, the nice thing about the train is you're not driving. You get to relax. You get presumably you're there with 5 or 6 other people who are also going to the same game with you. And you make a day of it. The problem is coming back. If your team loses, it's a long, dark ride.
Yeah, well, you should have seen that long, dark flight when we went to the Super Bowl in New Orleans. And we weren't the only ones who had to fly into Houston. The plane was packed from Boston, and all those folks had to fly back with us. From Houston, because most of us took probably the same plane down and the same plane back. You know, so that was very interesting. It is interesting to be on a flight or, you know, or anything. We've done that in California where we were down in Southern California flying up to San Francisco for a game. And, of course, everyone flying up were San Francisco fans. And, you know, we were Packer fans, obviously. And, in fact, one time I had to fly into Oakland, and the whole plane was full of Southern California folks that would fly into Oakland to go to the San Francisco game. And that was because Southwest, at that point, Southwest didn't fly into San Francisco.
They flew into Oakland, though.
So, and, you know, and everybody would fly that cheap Southwest flight up and back.
That's
anyway.
Fun. Well, you know, if you want the real bizarre fan experience, my suggestion is that you go to the Eagles game, but you park in the northern reaches of Philadelphia, either in the northeast or at the Fern Rock Broad Street station, and you get on the subway, or you get on the Market Street L and change at City Hall to get on the Broad Street subway. And as you get deeper and deeper into true Eagle territory, it gets more and more interesting. One November, I got on the Frankfurt L at the northernmost reaches of the northeast Philadelphia, where they have this huge parking lot. And on Sunday mornings, they have Eagle parking. And you get on the subway, you park your car, and people are already tailgating before they get on the subway. And you walk past all the smoke and fires and people smearing green and silver all over themselves. And you get on the train, and the train picks up more and more Eagles fans. And as you go, it seems like there are more and more true characters that get on and get off. I remember sitting in a car across from a guy who was literally dressed not like a Philadelphia Eagle, but as if someone had taken an American Eagle and dipped it in green, and right down to the wings. And the only thing that he was, that you could say, he was wearing an Eagle jersey, but he had feathers stuck all over it. And I could imagine a guy staying up nights, wasting his hours, gluing feathers to this Eagle's jersey. And we get further and further down, and you change at the City Hall station to get on the Broad Street L, which goes down to Broad and Patterson in the Stadium District. What happens is that subway is very fast, and there's an express that goes right to Broad and Patterson. Then there's a local that makes every stop. And it's more fun to take the local because you see the kinds of people who get on. And I remember being in a car with this one older lady with her wheeled shopping cart, got on the car and made a quick U-turn and got right off. And, you know, it's interesting. She was obviously a very experienced Philadelphian because she was a lady of mature years, probably about 80. And it was about 11:30 on a Sunday afternoon, and she had probably gone to confession early and then gone to do her shopping somewhere. And when she took one look at those Eagle fans, and she realized that everything that the priest had probably threatened the crowd with at the congregation was probably on that subway car.
Well, you know, I have to tell you, any fan from another team would literally be taking their life in their hands if they got on that subway. I would never take a subway to an Eagles game. I'll still go to the Eagles games. Dave won't go to the Eagles games. But it is interesting. One of the fun times that we had, although the trolley broke down and we didn't know if we were going to make it to the Super Bowl in San Diego, everybody took the, I don't know if they called it, it was an either an L or a trolley. I think they called it the trolley, out to the stadium. And they were so overloaded that they started breaking down. And, of course, you had all of these fans who were worried that they weren't going to get to the stadium on time. But, because it was obviously there were a lot of fans from the two teams, But then there were just a lot of fans that go to the Super Bowl games. But that was an interesting trolley ride because I think they would have lynched the engineer or the conductor if they hadn't finally started the trolleys to get going. But they were so overwhelmed. It was so poorly planned. And they didn't even have buses standing by in case they couldn't get the trolleys working. So anyway, I guess...
That's why I love football so much. It's not so much the game sometimes. It's how crazed the fans get.
And is it only me, or is it more so in football than I've seen in hockey? Now, I haven't been to as many professional hockey games, but... Is it maybe it's usually cold during the hockey games, but I haven't seen that same thing. You know, we went to a Devils game a couple years ago, and you know, everybody just seemed to go into the stadium and whatever. But it didn't seem to be all of that, you know, tailgating. I mean, in Green Bay they tailgate for hours. Well, I mean, they start at 8 o'clock in the morning for a 12:30 game or earlier.
And I'm impressed with that. You have to be very hardy people. You come out of your RV in 10-degree weather. You light your fire at 7:30 in the morning, and you have a couple Jägermeisters just to loosen up your arthritis. I'm really impressed with Green Bay fans, but I will tell you that Flyer fans are known to tailgate outside the Wells Fargo Arena, Wells Fargo Center to be more exact. And you're going to get some pretty good parties going, particularly when it's cup time and if there is a Sunday afternoon game. You know, it's April or it's May, early May, and the sun's shining, it's warm, it's 1 o'clock, it's a Sunday. And you can really get a snoot full or see some people who are absolutely legless by the time the puck drops. How they get to their seats, I don't know.
Well, you know, and you've been to Lambeau, so you know that at Lambeau, you have to climb a lot of stairs, and then, you know, most of the seats you have, unless you have the elevator, unless you're one of the box or, you know, can take an elevator. First of all, you claim a lot of seats. There are elevators for people who are handicapped. But the point is you climb a lot of stairs, and then you climb these big, long ramps to get to your seats. And, I mean, frankly, you can't be too intoxicated or you won't make it into the stadium.
Well, maybe they shouldn't let you into the stadium. But, you know, I've always been...
Well, they won't if they notice it. But, I mean, I'm telling you, I think people, to some extent, I think that then they, of course, they drink mostly throughout the game. But, I mean, it is funny to see. And as we get older, I'm telling you, walking up those stairs and walking up the ramps is you know, you're noticing age more than you do it almost anything else. Well, especially in the winter when you have all of these heavy clothes on, so you know you're carrying around probably 20 pounds at least of clothes.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt about it. It's kind of surprising to me that people can get their arms down by their sides sometimes. The one thing that always fascinated me were cold weather sports and how people react to them. Some people react to them by numbing themselves before they even leave their house or their car with John Barleycorn. Other people hurt themselves at stadiums. That's why, at least in Philly, if it gets to be the sixth inning, no more beer is served, or if it's with the Eagles games, halfway through the third quarter, no more alcohol is served. Usually by that time, nobody needs any more alcohol. And you really, driving out of that stadium sometimes where people have, any football stadium where people have really gotten tanked, it's like being in a demolition derby, one of those old-fashioned car races.
Well, hopefully people have learned to have a designated driver. But what always has amazed me, and I'm not a beer drinker, but it's always amazed me how people, it could be zero or below, and they're still sitting there, you know, drinking beer. You think that hot cocoa might be somebody has to figure, you know what? That's what. Somebody has to figure out a good liquor that goes with hot chocolate.
Oh, that's very easy.
But it would be, but they don't sell it. I mean, all they sell at the stadiums is beer.
Well, you know that...
We're a hot chocolate and...
That wonderful drink called a Black Russian. It's a little too sweet.
Yeah, but you have to warm it up.
So...
Yeah, that would be, you know, somebody needs to figure out and then be able to sell it at the stadiums because, you know, there obviously would be some vodka drinks that could be really good mixed with chocolate and hot.
No doubt. But what about that old-fashioned favorite, hot buttered rum? Sucked through a cinnamon straw.
That would be another one. Now, why? You'd think the NFL, they think of everything else to market. You'd think
why
they'd be
that?
Marketing something like that.
Yeah. And
there must be some prohibition against selling. Is there against selling hard liquor?
I don't think so.
I mean, not in the restaurants.
I've seen bars in Wells Fargo Center, and I've seen bars at Lincoln Financial
right.
Field and at City Field and Yankee Stadium. So I just don't think they sell it in the stands. I think that's where you get your beers and your sodas.
You have kind of those outside,
But there are outside serving places. In fact, last time I was at MetLife Stadium a couple of years ago for a Giants game, there was a bar right behind the lower level seats in the lower bowl. There are
a
couple bars.
I don't know about for the general seating, but I know that there was a very, you know, elaborate bar when we went and had box seats. And you know, they did serve it there. But, you know, then you're in box seats, and who needs the warm drink?
Sure.
We're diverting, and we're getting to the point where we're almost finished.
Do we have any more commercials we need to play to keep our sponsors happy, Pat?
I don't think so. We have about another minute, and we could play the news, and then the rewind will automatically. So I guess John didn't make it today. So listen, the Wimbledon is on. I don't know who won the match, Nadal and Djokovic today, this afternoon. Serena Williams is still in it. I've watched some of her matches. And actually, there were a couple of women who were really up and coming. I mean, it's actually, and I did play tennis. I haven't played for some years because of a back injury. But some of the women, frankly, I think the women's matches are more fun to watch. I mean, some of the rallies, I think there was one that it was either 47 or 48 rallies, one of Serena, and that's unusual with her. And then unfortunately or fortunately, then she gets down to the end and she puts away, you know, like 102 miles an hour serve. I mean, you know, these are just incredible.
Well,
so in
no
any event,
at 6 o'clock,
push
everybody
o'clock,
a great
we'll,
weekend and get up off that couch, folks.
USA Radio News.
During the summit, I made clear all NATO allies must honor their obligations, and I'm pleased to report that we have received substantial commitments from members to increase their defense spending and to do so in a much more timely manner.
President Donald Trump earlier today in a joint news conference with British Prime Minister Theresa May. The president also had tea with Queen Elizabeth II. The president is now spending the weekend in Scotland. A dozen Russian intelligence officials were charged with hacking into the DNC and the campaign of 2016 presidential candidate Hillary Clinton. Congressman Lee Zeldin says left or right, this has to concern you.
Whether you are Republican or Democrat, conservative or liberal, we should be concerned about cybersecurity, whether they breach a system that has to do with the DNC or DCCC, or if it's a Republican network.
That audio courtesy of Fox News, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn. Tangible Investments is the main title sponsor of my show. Many of my fans and listeners tell me they buy gold and collectible coins from a local dealer in their city because they don't know where else to go, or from telemarketers they see on TV because these companies spend millions to advertise. Sadly, the majority of companies that consumers reach out to rely on commissioned salespersons who have limited experience, limited expertise, and no credentials whatsoever. Tangible Investments has been around for 35 years. They build long-term relationships, not one-time sales. They work on the lowest spreads anywhere in the industry, so you always get the best price. Most importantly, the listeners of War Now are guaranteed to deal directly with Mike Bonham, VP of Tangible, and a staff of senior executives with a combined 200 years of experience in precious metals. Get the best prices, the lowest spread, deal with the most credible, experienced experts in the industry, and right now start your Tangible relationship off right with a free American Silver Eagle. To receive your free American Silver Eagle, call 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000. Or visit TII1.com.
The CEO of a national toy chain is apologizing for promotion gone wrong on Thursday. Here's USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes.
A day after what will go down in history as the Build-A-Bear fiasco, the CEO of the company says,
there was no ill intent. Our objective at Build-A-Bear is to make kids happy.
Sharon Price John speaking after her company offers a pay-your-age promotion at all of its stores on Thursday, meaning kids could get a bear that normally goes for about $30 for their age, as in a four-year-old would get a bear for $4. Lines were a mile long. Most stores ran out of bears before noontime.
It far surpassed anything we ever could have known.
She was speaking on NBC's Today Show. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris.